few questions are more important to a parent or a grandparent or even an aunt or an uncle than what should I feed this baby? What should I feed my grandbaby? What's the most healthy food choices I can make for my children, for my grandchildren? And I have a very special guest with me today, Maria Emmerich, a good friend of ours, who we don't get to see often enough, but at least I'm going to get to chat with her virtually today. And I hope that you will join me and invite every friend you have who has a child or a grandchild, because they need to hear this information. This is important to all parents and all grandparents. What we're going to be discussing today is what is a proper human diet for babies, for children, for adolescents, for teenagers, indeed for all humans. Hey, Mike Jones, thanks for joining us. You guys can start a watch party on Facebook. You can invite people to join on YouTube. We're going to be talking about tiny human nutrition today. And my guest is Maria Emmerich. Let me see if I can get her on. Hey, Maria.
Hey, everybody. Sorry about being a little late.
Stop right there. I've heard lots of excuses in my life. I've heard the dog ate my homework. I've heard my car wouldn't start. I've heard I got a ticket, got a flat tire. Here's Maria's excuse.
I was
paddleboarding with whales.
I have proof. No,
I believe you. It's just the most egregious.
Whoa.
Yeah, you got paddleboard hair. That's good. No worries.
Okay. It's. I should put my hat back on.
Yeah, your hair's so thin and limp. I mean, your diet must be failing you somehow.
You know what? I got your email this morning about having more beef on the menu. I don't know if you're telling everybody about this, but I want it. I mean, if I could, I would feed us meat cookies, which my kids call hamburgers, for lunch, and we would have steak for dinner. But I know that they're kind of on a budget. So, and they wanted sides, so I'm kind of being...
No, yeah, I get it. I just want to make sure I've got some ribeyes. That's all I need. Yeah. So in case you guys don't know, Maria and I are involved in a television production. There's going to be a series filmed called Reversed, and it's about reversing type 2 diabetes. It's produced by our friend Charles Maddox, and it's actually the second season of Reversed. I think it's going to be the best season yet, in my opinion. I'm not sure where it's going to be airing at. It'll be out in, what did he say, July, August?
3rd, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So be watching for the Reversed television series. I'm not even sure what network, but Maria's in charge of feeding us all while we're down there, since she's such an amazing cook, author. And surely everyone knows you, Maria, but for the two people who don't, please just give a brief introduction.
I'm Maria. I like to eat keto. I started keto when I was a teenager because I was sick. I was unhealthy. I was told I had PCOS and I wasn't going to bear my own children, which rocked my world. I had acid reflux really bad. I had depression really bad. And the doctor said it was nothing I was doing. They said it was the cards I was dealt in life, because my grandpa had diabetes, heart disease. She's like, that's just, you know. But you know what, Ken? I worked at a coffee shop where I drank mochas like they were going out of style, filled with sugar. And I got to take home all the cinnamon rolls, the scones, and the muffins that didn't sell that day. So I would make extra cinnamon rolls just to make sure that I got to bring some home. And that's what I lived off of. And that very same week, I had to take my beautiful golden retriever to the vet, because she was losing patches of her hair. And the vet said, what are you feeding her? And you know what, Ken? Look at the dog food, man.
Dogs don't eat vegetables.
First
we're going to talk about canine nutrition. Then we're going to talk about kid nutrition, because canine nutrition is so important. And I'll tell you, we just bought a new Great Pyrenees. He's going to be a herd dog. We're going to get some sheep. And she took him to the vet to get his parvo shot and other things. And the vet, I don't know if it was the vet or the vet tech, but they literally said, now don't be feeding him bones. If you wouldn't hit your knee with the food, because it's too hard, then you shouldn't give it to the dog. So I guess we should be giving our dogs oatmeal and according to the veterinary's office. We're not going to follow that advice. What say you about canine nutrition?
Bella, where are you, Bella? Miss B, come here. I want to show you just how tiny this dog is that chews the biggest bone. Come here, Miss B. Look at this little thing. Miss Bella, she loves bones. And you know what else she eats? Beef heart. She eats cut beef heart.
Yep.
We feed her organ meat. She's just, I mean, that's what dogs eat. Yep. You know, wolves did not chew the vegetables from the garden. No.
I've seen a very few photos that farmers have sent me of their corn, where coyotes who are probably starving would eat a little bit of corn. But that's the only time in the wild I've ever seen that happen. Dogs are facultative carnivores. They need to eat mostly meat, regardless of what your veterinarian says. Okay. Dogs are carnivores. They are meat eaters. They're not supposed to chew their food 30 times. They're supposed to wolf it down like a dog, like a wolf. Dogs are wolves. That's what they're supposed to do. And it's supposed to be meat. And they love bones and they should chew on them every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she does, you know. So, yeah, I guess I would find a new vet at that point. But anyway, that vet rocked my world because I started feeding her. They told me to buy this expensive dog food and I couldn't afford that. But I could, you know, what's interesting, the raw beef heart that I buy, it's really cheap because nobody wants to eat that, even though we should, nobody wants, it was really cheap. So I was like, well, great. So I got that. And I've been feeding my dogs that type of food ever since. But her hair grew back with a vengeance and, you know, it was beautiful. And so, I was like, okay, I'm going to change my diet. And it had to, you know, change a lot. And so for me, you know, I know you and I love our steaks and that, but if someone told me all you get to eat is steak right now, because that's why everybody's like, so you're carnivore now, that's all you eat? I'm like, no, let's back up. If someone told me all I had to do was eat meat or that's all I could eat, I probably wouldn't even have tried.
Yep.
So for me, I was experimenting in the kitchen. Okay, I want to make a cinnamon roll that's not going to mess with my blood sugar. And you know what? I have recipes for that if that's your jam. However, I feel much better on meat. It took me a long time to get there. So, you know, we're not living in the judging, you know, you don't judge, I don't judge. So wherever people is at on their journey, kudos to you, because guess what? Your journey's going to look a lot different. Your diet's going to look a lot different 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's all good.
I totally agree. Now, some people may not know that you have two beautiful boys. I want you to share the story of these two beautiful humans that you have that you're raising and love very much.
Oh, you just want me to start crying, don't you? Well, it's a huge, like, everything about them changed my life in many ways. What happened was, when I met my husband, Craig, I was only 17. And we were engaged to be married before I was 20. We were married before I was 21. And I told him right away, I probably can't have my own children because I was told that. And he's like, that's all right. We can adopt children. And that's what I tell people. Don't be like, oh, in every aspect of your life. Oh, Maria said we can't have bread and rice and pasta. You know, like get all woe is me. You have to be like, you know what? Ken and Maria said, you get to have ribeyes. You get to have chicken wings. You get to have butter, you know, like all of these things that you once thought were bad, you get to have. So that's how I look at life in many aspects and including children, you know, instead of being like, woe is me, you know, like I can't have my own kids. You know, I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to make the world brighter and bring children that need homes into my life. So anyway, we were on the adoption train and we were bringing the kids home and Craig lost his job. And at the time I was a rock climbing guide and I made like, I think $8 an hour. I didn't have insurance. So if you know anything about adoption agencies, if you lose a job and insurance, you go back to square one. All the money that, you know, thousands of dollars you put into it goes away because they have to do their job over. They have to look into your insurance. They have to look into your employment. So I was pretty depressed at that moment. I did not want to get out of bed. And a really awesome woman, her name's Jamie, said, I think it's one of the pictures that you posted about the boys. She said, you're gonna write a cookbook to raise money for your adoption. I was like, what? And she's like, you're gonna start a blog. And I was like, what's a blog? This was before anybody knew what a blog was. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. And guess what, Ken? We lost our house. We couldn't pay our house payment. So I had to go to the library. And guess what? We sold our cars because we didn't have any money. So I had to ride my bicycle to the library to write. So this is how primal. There's Mr. Kai. That's at the orphanage. Yes. But this is how desperate we were. I was like, I'm just going to start writing my recipes, put them into a cookbook. And that's what I went to school for, was nutrition. And so I was like, well, I have to get a real job now. And so it was all written in the stars because I'm a much, oh, there's, she took that picture, Jamie did, little Micah. And so we adopted these two little boys from Ethiopia. The first baby we were placed with died of malaria. So then we got little Mr. Kai, which was a blessing. But yeah, these children were underweight. They weren't even on the growth charts. Kai, that picture you showed of Kai, how tiny he was, he's over a year old. Oh, not in so that one.
Picture, he's over a year old.
That one, he's 6 months.
But 6 months old.
That's a tiny 6 month old. Micah is almost three there.
Gotcha.
There, Kai is over one years old. He's like 1 year, 1 month right there. But he's tiny. You know, he's
and really when you guys adopted these guys and got them home, what kind of diet did you start them out on? What were you eating at the time?
We were eating fully keto, and they love the food. They love the food. I brought whatever keto things I could bring with me on the flight there so we could have food on the plane because airport food, right? Yikes. You know, so we brought as much like, you know, beef sticks, and we had, I made like baby food and that type of stuff that would carry well, that, you know, wasn't the, not store-bought baby food. We brought coconut milk, just like some healthy fats because they definitely were starved for fats and protein. It was a lot of grains that they ate. I remember feeding him at the orphanage bananas. And you know, I was just doing it because that's what they offered me. They were very poor. They fed Kai soy milk formula. And I remember, you know, they gave me the bottle to feed him, and Craig's like, don't say anything. I was like, I'm not gonna, you know, because they do what they can. But you know what we did? We brought healthier options for them. We even donated, they needed some other medical supplies. So just, they had nothing. I mean, it was a tiny place. They were just struggling to survive. I still remember, and this is probably the hardest part for me, I still remember a little kid outside the orphanage. And I still remember his face. You know, like he wanted in, but he wasn't in. You know, he wanted to be saved, but it was tough. Yeah. It was emotional.
And so how long after you had these handsome young men and eating a meat-heavy ketogenic diet, did you really notice their growth and their development start to respond on the growth chart at the pediatrician's office and other places?
They definitely, it was definitely a process. They had the starch belly where it stuck out big. I mean, Micah has abs of steel now. And, you know, they both were very small everywhere else. So they had tiny arms, tiny legs, but they had that big starch belly. Yep. And I remember dinner time. Michael was always very happy when food showed up. He's the older one. But my younger son, that's one, he would cry and scream for food. And when it went away, he would scream for more. He definitely would eat until he'd be sick. And it was a transition to meal times were very stressful. It was hard to teach him that there would always be food, but you need to stop because he would eat till he would burst. Right. So it was very sensitive, but it was maybe like even 8 months down the road that they were on the growth charts and healthy. I mean, not one to go to the doctor a lot. I know that Dr. Ken can understand that. We go because we have to, and you know, the orphanage or the adoption agency made us. But yeah, no, they were really impressed because they weren't even on the growth charts. Now they're at the 75th percentile. I mean, they're amazing. And the transition to get them to eat this food was easy. They really loved the food. And, you know, going from soy formula to bone broth, I mean, that I have videos of him doing sign language for more bone broth.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, you know, we've got a little 14-month-old now, little baby Becky. And the very first food, the solid food that ever went into his mouth was a beef rib that I had almost finished. And I left a few scraps of meat on there and I just handed it to him. He was 4.5 months old. He had a couple of little teeth going and he would reach and grab things and put in his mouth. Right. And according to baby led feeding guidelines, that means he's ready to try something solid. Well, I handed him that bone and me and Nisha were there and Nisha's parents. And we were amazed. He immediately, when he tasted the meat on the end of the bone, his eyes lit up and he looked at us like, what the hell? What is this? And he proceeded to chew on the bone.
I remember that picture that you posted on Instagram. And it was like, where has this been all my life? Right.
Yep. And now he's a big fan of breast milk. Don't get me wrong, but he loves meat, and that's virtually all he's eaten since he's been on this planet is meat, a little avocado, maybe a pickle here and there, and an olive here and there. But as far as grains, to my knowledge, there's never been any wheat, rice, oats, or corn that's ever passed his lips. Not once. He's about 80% on the growth chart for weight and 100% for height. So he's very long and lean. Very active, very intelligent. And so you notice kind of a transformation in your boys as they transition from this soy grain fruit diet to a meat heavy keto diet. And now what kind of diet do you guys eat?
Well, they prefer meat. What's interesting is I have some things in the oven right now. I'm practicing a recipe for a very beautiful actress that we have contract with, which I can't talk about, but I think you can guess. So I had to practice a recipe and I'm making these special cupcakes for her video. And what's funny is nobody wants to eat them, but sadly there's plenty of homeless people out on the beach that live there and we'll give them to them. But my boys don't prefer that. So, I mean, they prefer, like, if they need a snack, which snacks are very rare for us, it's more like a beef stick. They like deviled eggs. But honestly, if they're hungry, they would have another bowl of, you know, something that I make. We do like Chipotle at home, which is basically a bowl of ground beef with taco seasoning on it. And sometimes they'll put salsa on it. We don't really like guacamole. None of us like avocado. Tastes like, I don't know, gross. I have a son that can't do dairy. So it's basically ground beef with taco seasoning and he loves it. The other one likes to wrap it in lettuce. I mean, to each his own, but most of it is just like a lot of beef. My son, Kai, my youngest, will take out a bigger ribeye than you. We're going to go to dinner and we're going to have a competition because that kid can throw down a ribeye. I'm like, what? I mean, he's expensive, but whatever. I don't mind spending money on food. I mean, I don't buy makeup. I have cheap, you know, purses and crap, but I will spend every dollar on food. And I don't mind doing that at all.
Yeah. When I hear parents and grandparents complain about, well, gosh, keto's so expensive or carnivore so expensive, meat's so expensive. It makes me wonder, you know, I wonder what package you have for your internet. What kind of cell phone do you have? I mean, maybe your priorities are just a little bit off because food is the literal nutrition that your child's body and mind is going to be built with. That sounds pretty important to me.
I'd like to know if they've ever been in a line for Starbucks because I worked at those coffee shops and I know how much they cost and that's not giving you any nutrition. So like that. And I had a very interesting client who was a raw vegan, and I got her to go carnivore because she wasn't doing it because of animal rights. She was doing it because she thought it was healthy. And so I got her into all of the knowledge that all of these brilliant doctors have to share about carnivore. She went carnivore. And guess what? She now saves $2,000 a year on her grocery bill because guess what? She doesn't have to go to the store all the time. And she was a teacher. So she was always hungry. She had to eat in between classes, you know? So I don't know. If you're not buying, you know what? An Oreo is a raw vegan. Or as a vegan, I guess. Not raw vegan, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I wanted to bring up with you. So many people, when their babies are weaning off the breast and starting to eat solid food, so many babies in the United States and other countries are being fed a vegan diet unintentionally. And I want parents and grandparents to think about this. When you start to wean your baby off breast milk or formula, God forbid if you had to go that route, what are the first foods? Rice cereal, right? Oat cereal, pureed peaches, fruits, vegetables. Think about it, folks. That's a vegan diet. Have I mentioned the meat in there at all? Right? Most people are afraid to give their children cow's milk or any other kind of mammal milk. And there's arguments on both sides of that. But the average baby eats, they cut their teeth on little wheat crackers, right? And they're eating Goldfish crackers. That's vegan. And so they're literally feeding their babies a vegan diet, and they don't even realize that's what it is, because somewhere back along the line, it became fashionable to think, well, of course you don't give your baby meat. They have to start out with baby food. Maybe Gerber came up with that. I'm not sure. What do you think about that?
Well, this is an interesting thing happened. I spoke in my hometown at this health fair. Okay. And right before I went on, a nurse spoke about how damaging cholesterol and saturated fats were. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm just going to talk about the opposite now. Like, but I didn't want her to feel bad either. So I was pondering, because she was saying, use canola oil. Really? Canola oil? That's what we're pushing? Sorry. But I got up on stage and I said, you all agree that the first food that a baby should consume is breast milk, right? That's the first substance a baby should consume. And they're like, yep, everybody's nodding. I mean, it was a huge crowd. And I was like, did you know that it's primarily made up of cholesterol? And I was like, do you know why that is? Because cholesterol is needed to build your brain, to build your hormones. It builds your sex hormones and their gonads. Like, you need cholesterol. When you don't eat enough cholesterol, guess what? Your liver has to make it, and your liver is not invincible. It's not. You need so much cholesterol in a day, and whatever you don't put in here, you're going to have to make it in your liver, and your liver can get tired, and it does get tired, and we see that with a lot of people. So that's how I started it, and so everybody here listening agrees that breast milk is a perfect food for babies. And breast milk is primarily cholesterol. So why do we go from all this cholesterol to nothing?
Yep.
We're hurting our children.
Absolutely, I totally agree. I just wish, I'm researching this kind of stuff all the time, but I wish I could figure out where the myth came from that, and it's not even really talked about it. You know, the pediatrician says, do not give your child meat. It's just common knowledge that babies should start with pureed peaches and you know, rice cereal. It's like nobody thought to give the baby some meat. And the problem with that is that when you look at the paleoanthropological evidence, that was the first food. When a baby started to wean off breast milk, they were given meat, and the mother probably chewed the meat up for them and then kissed it into their mouth. That was their first solid food, was chewed up meat that had been kissed from mom to baby. And that's a beautiful thing when you think about it. But I don't know where we went astray. Was it just all the mainstream media advertising for, you know, Gerber and other baby brands that, oh, my God, don't give your baby meat. Don't kiss them on the mouth. You might give them a germ. You should give them these wheat crackers instead. What's up with that? Well, how does it? Because you're a mom. How do moms not get it that meat is the most nutrient dense food on the planet? Where are we going wrong with our education for humans?
Well, I have a couple thoughts here. The first thing is there's a great movie called Babies. I think it's on Amazon Prime, and there's no talking in it, but children love it. I don't know if Beckett is old enough for it, but it's all about babies around the world. And I remember there's a Malaysian baby who's sucking on a bone with a piece of fat on it as a pacifier. Yep. That was the baby's pacifier. And you think that this was filmed decades ago, you know, centuries ago. No, it is now. They live in a hut and it's sucking on a piece of fat. That is its pacifier. What a perfect snack, right?
Perfect. Perfect. I love it.
But now, yeah,
that's what Becky would do with the beef bones and the pork bone, the ribs. He would eat literally so much meat off the bone that then he would drop it in the floor. The dogs didn't even want it because he had cleaned the bone so thoroughly. They're like, I don't want that. There's nothing on it. But I just think somewhere along the way, we stopped teaching young parents and even grandparents that meat is an appropriate first food for babies.
Here is another thought, and I don't want to offend anybody, but when I see a two-year-old eating a McDonald's French fry, it looks like child abuse to me. But that is the norm now. Or like going to the zoo where the kids are not even walking around, they're in strollers and eating a bunch of Cheerios on their table. Kids are meant to move. And kids don't need to be snacking all the time, if especially if they're not eating a bunch of grains. But they don't know what a French fry is until you teach it to them. Because guess what? You want the French fry. You want it. You want it. Those parents want it, right? They want the Cheetos at the house because then they get to have some. It's not for the kids. Because they don't have a grocery list. They don't have a license and they don't have money, right?
Yeah. 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 When I see people in the clinic and they say, well, I can't get them to stop eating this stuff. And I'm like, and you know, the kid's 5 years old. And I say, well, do they have a driver's license yet? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, do they have a credit card? No. Well, then how did the groceries get in the house? Who bought them? So stop buying the crap. And then the crap won't be there because I don't think they're stealing the car keys and sneaking out at night and buying bags of Doritos. I don't think that's what's happening. I think you're buying them and bringing them home. And like you said, it's probably for the parents, but then the kids wind up eating some too.
Right. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody because I was there myself. I had a terrible diet and it was my fault. And, you know, people want to give their children the world, but, and they plan. And that's another thing too. They're like, oh, it takes so much time and effort to plan meals and cook because, you know, the standard American diet is pretty easy. You throw a pizza in the oven, right? I mean, but we plan for our children's future in every single way. We spend so much time and effort giving our children the world, but we can't sit down and spend 20 minutes cooking dinner. I'm sorry, but it's called an Instant Pot. It's simple. Slow cooker. It doesn't have to be complicated. Throw it on, throw the steak on the grill. Ken says, throw the steaks on the grill, throw, you know, the chicken on the grill, whatever you want to eat, you know, throw some salmon on the grill. Like it's, and it is what it is. Like I tell my kids, you want this or this? I usually give them a choice. You want this or this? And they're like, yeah, we'll have that. I mean, we tend to eat the same thing a lot. But it's the foods that we really love. I think everybody tends to eat the same rotation throughout the week, you know? And that's okay. That's okay. As long as it's meat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you probably have taken the boys to see the pediatrician for their routine annual checkups and stuff. I'm assuming you haven't, if it's okay if you haven't. But have you received the little nutrition handout from the pediatrician at some point? And if so, how did that conversation go? Did you dip your toe in that pool or did you just let it go?
I remember them saying, if I don't feed them rice cereal, they won't get enough iron. And I was like, you're dumb.
So wait, they, instead of saying give the baby meat, because that is the ultimate source of heme iron in the world, they said give them rice cereal.
Yep.
For their source of iron.
And we know everything about bioavailability and anti-nutrients in such things as rice cereal and vegetables that, you know, the bioavailability of like oysters filled with zinc, right? You pair the oysters with like corn tortillas, and that bioavailability goes down to like 30%.
Yep.
You know, so it's not just like what you're eating, is what you're pairing it with. But they asked what I fed them, and I just said, none of your business. And
did you say that out loud?
Oh yeah.
That's why I love you so much. That's exactly what I did too.
You know, they kind of knew what I did, and I just said, none of your business. You don't need to worry about that.
No, I would have told them in detail. Then we could have had a good discussion.
But you know me, I'm a little bit more passive.
Yeah, so I do. I understand. I understand. Yes, you didn't want to get into it with them, but I totally would have. But have you had any other interactions with healthcare providers, with schools, with daycare, anybody who had a problem with the way your two boys eat?
Well, Craig homeschools the boys, bless his heart. I'm not patient enough to do that. I do more of the fun things, like take them on paddle boards with whales and teach them about the whales. Okay. But you will never guess who's probably the most judgmental person. Hopefully she's not watching.
Oh, God.
Hi, Mom. the family members, grandparents, aunts and uncles are the ones that when we go to family gatherings for like Christmas, we will walk. They usually have a buffet line, okay? So you walk through and pick your food. And there's always, I've been doing it for so long, it's just common knowledge. I bring foods that everybody can have. I bring deviled eggs. I made tenderloin. I grilled that on the grill. Like foods that we like, my kids like. And look at, that's their favorite food is me. They love raw fish. I like mine cooked.
Now, here are the two boys now. Tell us which is which in their ages in this picture.
Micah is 11. He's in the black. And he is, he's like the smartest kid I've ever met. Kai is the goofiest boy I've ever met. He's in the blue and he is 10. So 10 and 11. But we would be at a family gathering, and I'm putting a lot out here. So I hope my family's not watching. Okay. So we'll go through the line and my boys take some prime rib. I mean, it's Christmas. There's a huge buffet, shrimp. They grab all of this delicious food, a lot of proteins. We always have deviled eggs. Like I said, lots of proteins. Okay. So their plate is filled. And they looked at the bread and they said, Mom, is that your recipe? And I said, no, honey, it's not. And I did not say anything, but they moved off. But everybody kind of saw that. All right. I got a lot of SHIT for that. Okay. But at the same time, I have nephews that are the same age as my children. All right. They did not put anything on their plate. And their dad made them a tombstone pizza. But I'm the one who gets the SHIT, excuse my French. Yep. I was really upset. And my mom was like, why aren't they putting any vegetables on their plate? I was like, because they don't like them. They don't like broccoli. They don't like cauliflower. And so what happened, sorry, I'm getting a little feedback. Craig, this was before we wrote the carnivore cookbook. He started making a bunch of nutrient charts for the grandparents to show them, this is what the boys like. They like meat and they eat organ meat too. You know, you think about bologna so gross because it's just a bunch of intestines. I gotta tell you, that's some of the healthiest foods you can get if you use like U.S. wellness meats. They could throw down U.S. wellness meat bologna and like nothing. So anyway, he had all these charts and like kale and broccoli, blueberries, all these things that they thought were really healthy and that the boys should be eating. Guess what? The beef and the organ meat were off the charts.
Absolutely.
I should have like showed you, given you that to put up here too, because it's just ridiculous. I have no fear.
One of the lectures you gave at one of the conferences, and it's mind blowing for the uninformed. You and I know this, but for the average person, when you put up the nutritional information of broccoli or kale or a blueberry, and you put that up against, you know, fatty beef or especially beef liver, the beef liver blows the blueberry, kale, spinach, collards, whatever superfood you think is a superfood. it blows it completely out of the water as far as nutrient density goes. But the average person walking the street, despite my best efforts and your best efforts, they still have no idea. If you ask them, what's the most nutrient-dense superfood in the world? 9 people out of 10 are going to say kale.
Yeah.
Or blackberry or some stupid root from the Himalayas or some berry from Australia. It's like, no, dummy, it's liver. What's wrong with you?
And that was the hardest thing. Like when I was creating the menu for this show that we're going to be on, the first menu I sent to them, I did, oh, look at that sweet baby boy. Yeah,
there's Beckett in his beef rib.
I actually didn't have any side dishes offered because we don't eat side dishes, right? Because, right. You know, that's just the way we eat. And I got pushback that I had to have more side dishes. I was like, okay, we're in transition. We're going to teach them how to transition to more meat. And so it's fine. And I know that it's more affordable to have a side dish than 2 ribeyes, right?
Right.
So I just wanted you to know that's where I'm at with this. But yep. I remember what I brought to Ethiopia that we all ate a lot of sardines. Sardines and things in the can, they loved them. They loved the bones and everything. They gobbled them up. So much flavor. And I just think if you introduce these weird foods to your kids at an early age, they will develop a different palate. One of the first things I made for Kai was bone marrow. And it's just, you know, they sell them as dog bones. Everybody's like, I don't know where to buy bone marrow. I was like, go to the grocery store and ask for the dog bones because that's the bone marrow. It's just bones. The inside will come sliding out when you roast it. It's very easy. It's like a savory jello. It's perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think you're exactly right on this. And you've got experience. You're the mother of 2. If you never give your baby strained peas or you know, strained peaches or goldfish crackers, then they don't develop a taste for them. At Beckett's 1-year birthday party, we thought our friend Melissa, who has Cooking Keto with Faith, a little cooking blog, she made him a little cake that was a carnivore cake. It had cheese icing and everything, no sweetener. And we put some blueberries and raspberries on top. That was going to be his first time he had ever eaten an official carbohydrate outside of breast milk. So he puts a raspberry in his mouth and he looks around at us and he takes it out and throws it on the ground because we were having a party outside. And then he gets a blueberry, he crunches it and he looks around and he spits that out. And finally, I just went and got him. I got a hamburger, a meat cookie, as you call it. And I started, and he was just eating that like crazy. So when a baby cuts their teeth on meat, like liver, for example, I haven't given him beef liver yet, but Nisha fries chicken liver. She breads it with pork panko and fries it in bacon grease. And it's freaking delicious. And Beckett wears chicken liver out. He loves it. Right. But the average parent would say there's no way in hell a baby's going to eat chicken liver. They're not going to eat that. They need goldfish crackers or Gerber baby food. That's bullshit. They don't need that. There's no nutrition in Gerber baby food. OK, I would love to see the nutrition. Have Craig do a nutrition chart for Gerber, whatever their most nutrient dense baby food is, whatever it is. It's 1 ounce of that and 1 ounce of chicken liver.
Yeah.
I would love to see that visual because I think the average parent, and that's the problem, is the average parent, they don't know better. They mean well. Their heart is 100% in this. We're not judging parents. We are parents. My first 4 kids, Maria, I fed them crap. I didn't know better. I can remember my son, Jonathan, who's 31 years old now and an attorney. I would give him rice cereal in his soy formula when he was about 1 year old. And I can remember him sucking on the bottle and he would just be like in a carbohydrate coma. And we thought it was the cutest, funniest thing because the rice cereal would put him out like a narcotic. And we thought that was hilarious. I had no idea that I was spiking his blood sugar, spiking his insulin and basically putting him into a carbohydrate coma. So don't hear Maria and I judging you. That's not what's happening here. We're trying to help you. We're trying to teach you and inform you. And because I didn't know, if you'd have told me when I was 20, hey, dumbass, if you'll stop giving him the rice cereal and give him some meat, he won't have carbohydrate coma. And it'll actually help him grow faster and be smarter. I would have been like, oh, okay, I didn't know. And I hope that's where the average parent is. And so a little bit of education and just saying, hey, wake up, think about this a minute. Don't just believe the Gerber commercial.
No, and I think we're on the same page too. If, money is an issue, you don't have to buy organic beef. I mean, do what you can, because I know that you wanted to go to Disney World for Beckett's first birthday and it just, you know, didn't happen. We took the boys there last year, and guess what? Nobody's eating organic there. We're eating meat cookies as much as we can, and they're not organic. You do what you can when you can,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
I don't know. I thought it was funny. I remember, I think it was the first cruise we were on together. There was a huge uproar about having to buy organic, and I stood up and left because I was like, get over yourself. Nobody's eating organic on the ship, so yep. Whatever.
Yeah, and 8 times out of 10, when we buy meat, it's just meat from Kroger. We don't buy grass-finished organic. We don't do that. And, you know, and even if people could do that, I'm not so sure it ever justifies the cost. Now, I do want people to try to buy local eggs and local beef and local mutton. I want everyone to encourage local farmers and ranchers to grow. And so in that respect, if you can get local, you know, grass finished, antibiotic free meat, do that, because you're actually helping to stimulate your local economy. And that I'm 100%
in. Yeah.
But by paying $22 a pound for grass finished ribeye at Kroger, I just don't think it's worth it.
No, we get Maui beef here, and it's so cheap. It's local and it's grass finished. And that's the thing. Like, people are like, grass fed beef. It's like, well, all cows are technically grass fed in the beginning. So you have to make sure, like, I'm glad you said the grass finished. I was going to show you a picture, but I kind of lost my train of thought. First, we were going off on a tangent. I don't know. Anyway. I'm so grateful that you reached out. It's been so long since I've gotten to see you and that beautiful wife of yours. It's just been such a, I know we've planned all of these things and it's like, boom, it just keeps going.
I know it won't stop. Let's see if we've got a few questions, Maria, that we can answer in the last few minutes. Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. If you guys have any questions, now's the time to type in the comments. And we will try to answer a few. Let's see what I've got over here.
Chicken eggs?
Yeah, we have backyard chickens.
Oh, you lucky dude.
Yeah, man. And every one of them lays an egg every day. And we thank them and we feed them and we eat their eggs.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. You were talking about sides a minute ago. Today, when I broke my fast about 2 p.m., I had a big fat ribeye steak, and my side was 4 eggs.
There you go. That's what we do.
That was my side. So
I mean, my sides are like deviled eggs, and I remember in my book, The Cleanse, you get meat cookies and you get chicken wings, and they're like, so do I choose which one to get? I'm like, no, it's meat cookies with a side of chicken wings. Like, that's just how we eat, you know?
Okay, so Wyoming says, new study, increased advanced glycation end product and meat consumption is associated with childhood wheeze. Wyoming, I am definitely aware of advanced glycation end products causing inflammation in the lungs and wheezing, but I am not aware of any study that shows that meat consumption increases advanced glycosylation. I'd love for you to send me a link to that study, because I don't believe that has been shown to be true. Let's see. Okay. Gail wants to know if she can only buy one of your cookbooks, which one should you buy?
Well, I do want people to know that there's thousands of free recipes on my blog. So, I mean, we've all been down and out, and this year's been tough. So that's mariamindbodyhealth.com. Lots of free stuff. If you are a kid at heart, keto comfort foods, for sure. Like, that is a game changer for a lot of people. That's Halle Berry's favorite book. I have Little Debbie Cupcakes in there, if that's your jam. So, yeah, I would check that out. Thank you very much, Gail.
Let's see if we've got one more question we can get here. Oh, okay. What about a pate recipe? Do you have a good one, or do you know where we can find one?
Oh yeah, I do have a lot of pate recipes in the carnivore cookbook, but I guess it depends on what your jam is. Do you want a chicken liver pate? Do you want a salmon pate? I do have them for all of them. I prefer more of the pork pate. That one is on my website, mariamindbodyhealth.com, but it depends. Like my son loves salmon. I do not. So he loves like salmon pate. And we eat it with pork rinds. So that would be like a snack or a side that would go along with something that we're eating. But yeah, pates are a beautiful thing.
I love it. So, Maria, I really appreciate you doing this, and I look forward to working with you in Costa Rica
Me
on
too.
the reversed series. Tell us one more time your website and what's your latest book? So if people are interested, they can check you out.
The website is mariamindbodyhealth.com. I chose that when blogs weren't popular. I should have chose like keto.com, right? I would have been like super popular. The latest book is The Art of Fat Loss, but I just signed a contract to do a kids cookbook. So it's going to be sugar-free kids because
Yes.
if I called it Keto Kids, we're not going to cross the chasm. But if I introduce it as sugar-free kids, it's going to make it. We're going to have, it's going to be great.
Excellent strategy and very, very smart that you left the K word out of it because that triggers a lot of people.
It does. So sugar-free kids. Everybody knows sugar is bad. They just don't know what turns into sugar.
Exactly right. Exactly. Thank you so much for doing this, Maria. It's been a pleasure. If you guys haven't checked out Maria's cookbooks and her blog, I'm going to put a link in the show notes up here on Facebook, down there on YouTube. And thanks for joining me. If even though this live is over, you can still share this. It will stay on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can share this with every parent and every grandparent you know because they all need to know this information. Thanks, Maria. See you
Thanks,
guys
everyone.
next
Have a
time.
good day.
You too.